Protocols of the Meetings of the Learned Elders of Zion. Protocol Number 24, Qualities of the Ruler. 1. I'll now discuss the method of fully confirming the dynastic roots of King David. 2. This method of confirmation will also serve as a basis for directing the education and thought of all humanity, and is based on the conservative conduct of our learned elders in managing the affairs of the world. 3. Certain members of the descendants of David will select and prepare the kings and their heirs. They will be selected, not by right of heritage, but by their eminent capabilities. They will be inducted into the most secret mysteries of political methods and schemes of government, although they will not be given specific knowledge of the secrets. The purpose of this mode of action is to demonstrate to everyone that government cannot be entrusted to those who have not been inducted into the secret places of its art. 4. To those who are selected, they will only be taught the practical application of the plans, which I described earlier, by comparing the experiences of many centuries, and by making careful observations on all the politico-economic moves and social sciences. In other words, they will study the substance of all the laws, which have been unshakably established by nature herself, for the regulation of the relations of humanity. 5. Direct heirs will often be prevented from ascending to the throne if, during their time of training, they exhibit frivolity, softness, or other qualities that are the ruin of authority. Such qualities render them incapable of governing and are dangerous for kingly office. 6. Only those who are unconditionally capable of firm, direct rule will receive the reins of rule from our learned elders, even if they are this way to the point of cruelty. 7. In case of falling sick with weakness of will or other form of incapacity, kings must by law hand over the reins of rule to new and capable hands. 8. The king's plan of action for the current moment, and all the more so for the future, will be unknown, even to those who are called his closest counselors. King of the Jews. 9. Only the king and the three who sponsored him will know what is coming. 10. The king will be seen as person of unbending will, who is master of himself and of humanity. All will see his position and rise to power, as though it were fate with its mysterious ways. None will know what the king wishes to attain by his plans, and, therefore, none will dare to stand across an unknown path. 11. The mental abilities of the king must be sufficient to deal with the plans of the government. For this reason, he will not be permitted to ascend to the throne until after an examination of his mind by our learned elders. 12. In order that the people may know and love their king, it is necessary for him to converse in the marketplaces with his people. This brings the government and the people together as a combined force, two groups which were previously divided by the terror which was brought by us against the people. 13. It was necessary for us to use this terror to bring the forces of the people and their government under our influence. 14. The king of the Jews must not be at the mercy of his passions, and especially of his senses. On no side of his character must he allow brute instincts to overpower his mind. Sensuality, worse than anything else, disorganizes the capacities of the mind and clearness of views. It distracts thoughts to the worst and most brutal side of human activity. 15. The Supreme Lord of the entire world, in the form of the Holy Seed of David, represents the prop of humanity. He must sacrifice all personal inclinations and be devoted to his people. 16. Our Supreme Lord must be an example of perfection.